The February 6, 2015 rain report is coming in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with this rain report.
You can't sustain a magazine on digital only. Not today. Maybe 10, 15 years from now you'll be able to. But in today's marketplace, you cannot sustain a digital-only magazine on a subscription basis. And that's just the reality of it.
The voice of CQ Magazine editor Rich Moseson, W2VU, who is now in his 20th year of editing CQ Magazine. A licensed ham since 1970, at the age of 15, Rich has seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of the publishing industry. CQ has had to make some tough decisions in the past several years that have yielded some unexpected results. Rains Hapali, KC9RP, spoke with Rich about those decisions and CQ's continuing challenge in delivering its print magazine on time.
We did everything we could to at least keep it from getting worse, which in the case of the December issue, that is out there in the mail. We're not sure where exactly because it was mailed 2 weeks ago and everybody should have had it by now. But so far, we've only heard from a couple of people who actually do. So we're not sure what the post office is doing with the December issue, something other than delivering it, because they've had it long enough. We continue, as most of our print subscribers know, to have a lot of challenges in getting the print issues mailed in a timely manner, and we're working on trying to resolve those. One of the ways that we're doing that is by combining our January and February issues and extending everyone's subscription by one issue to make up for that, of course, and hopefully get us a little closer in to slowly work our way back to our normal schedule over the course of the next few months. Along with doing that, we also decided that our experiment with the digital-only supplement that we called CQ Plus was not working out from an economic standpoint. Content-wise, it was great, but from an economic perspective, it wasn't working for us, so we had to discontinue that. We have incorporated several of the columns that were in CQ Plus into CQ, and they'll be appearing over the course of different issues. We will also be expanding our focus a little bit within the features to occasionally include some articles on shortwave listening or scanning. These are activities that our surveys have shown us that a very large number of our readers are involved in addition to their ham radio activities. So it's not like this is something completely different and foreign to most of our readers.
What's at the root of the delivery issue, getting the magazines out?
It's a very tough time in the publishing business overall. It's not just CQ. It's a very difficult time economically in the entire publishing industry. We're part of it, for better or for worse, and we face the same struggles and the same challenges. We've also had the unfortunate situation of going through a few different advertising managers over the course of the past year, which hasn't helped matters any. They've left for reasons that have really nothing to do with the magazine. We're very fortunate that we have just hired a new advertising manager, David Chamberlain, W7DSC, who brings a whole new perspective to us and is already showing signs of very promising opportunities coming up in the future. You know, it's a tough economy out there, despite the fact that we're supposedly in full recovery mode. Most people who are not bankers or big business CEOs know that despite what the overall numbers say, for most of us, it's still a struggle. And that applies to small businesses and particularly small publishing businesses as well. It's not something that's unique to us. It's the whole industry and the whole economy. We're just doing what we can to get through and to slowly build our way back up and get back on schedule.
Let's talk about some of the recent changes you've made, dropping CQ Plus. What led you to that decision and how will that benefit CQ in the long run?
Well, what led us to the decision was, again, economics. Despite all the hype about everything going digital, the real world, particularly the real advertising world, is not ready for digital yet. We found this out first with World Radio Online, which we purchased back in 2009. Our initial plan was to have free distribution of that magazine and to have it supported by advertising. The advertising was not expensive, and we couldn't sell ads for it, and we had to move that to a subscription model. Even that was not sustainable. And at the same time, the market was changing dramatically in the world of shortwave broadcasting and scanning. popular communications became unsustainable as well because of the cutbacks in shortwave broadcasting by the well-known voices that most of us grew up with. On the scanning side, so many different agencies going to encryption for valid security reasons in some cases, and for less valid reasons in other cases. But in any event, there's less to listen to. It's harder to listen to it. Therefore, the people who make radios and equipment for that market are cutting back, and they're cut back their advertising to the point where Popcom became unsustainable, and it was basically all at the same time there. So we merged World Radio Online, Popcom, and CQVHF all together into CQ Plus, which was another 50, 60 pages a month of really great content, with opportunities there for additional advertising at a significantly lower rate than the print issue. And again, the marketplace was not ready for it. Print has more impact than digital, and that's just how people perceive things. Advertisers feel that way, and the readers feel that way, because the ads that we were able to sell in CQ Plus really didn't seem to draw that much in the way of additional business for the advertisers. And if the ads are not going to draw, then the advertisers are not going to stay there. On the other hand, the ads in our print editions do draw very well. So the readers are still very much reliant on print, and the advertisers are very much reliant on print. So the economics simply were not there to continue to have this 50, 60 extra pages of content every month without support from the advertising community for it.
Seems to me you're dealing with two issues besides the obvious economics, but is that your chair?
No, it's the floor over
oh,
my
head. Oh, it's
your
wife upstairs.
Around. Yes.
Yeah, I remember last time we had the interview.
You know, I'm on my cell phone. I don't have to sit under that part of the floor.
Oh, so okay.
Let me go move over here. Okay.
Seems to me, Rich, that you're dealing with a couple of issues here besides the obvious economical one. One, people expect practically everything on the internet to be free. The other is the experience of having a magazine physically in your hands where you can thumb through the pages and smell that ink and you can really study a schematic or an advertisement. That would apply to just the older generation. But maybe it's not so much just a generational thing after all.
I agree with you on both counts. People do have this expectation that everything online will be free or practically free. Because when we introduced CQ Plus, we were offering the digital edition at a very, very low rate. And we were offering it as an add-on to the print edition for like $10 a year to start with. And nobody bit. I don't want to suggest, by the way, that we don't have any readership of our digital edition. We have a good, solid, paid readership base on the digital edition. There are a lot of people out there who do prefer digital and are very happy with our digital edition and are happy to pay the subscription for that, but not as many as for the print edition. And we're continuing to do both print and digital. It's just that they're both going to match up from now on. Everything that's in the digital will also be in the print. We won't have the extra pages. But yes, there is this expectation that everything online is free. And unfortunately, it's not free to produce and distribute. So that is not a viable thing for us to do. As far as the physical magazine, yes, having a magazine is a sensual experience. You are feeling it. You're smelling the ink. It's a tactile, sensual experience that is different from trying to read it on a screen or a tablet. And it is a different, more personal experience. It's just the difference in the nature of the media. I constantly go back and forth for different reasons between the print and the digital editions when I'm looking for things. The digital is very handy for looking things up, for finding stuff, go to the table of contents and click on it. And there I'm on the page, as opposed to having to page through the print issue to find something. But when I get a magazine in my hand, it's a different experience.
You're listening to a conversation between CQ editor Rich Moseson, W2VU, and Rains Hap-Holly, KC9RP, concerning the challenges of publishing a print magazine in a digital world. Or maybe I should say, publishing a digital magazine in a print world. We'll continue Rich's thoughts on the pros and cons of both print and digital media in a moment. This is The Rain Report, available via Twitter at #TheRainReport and online 24/7. On therainreport.com. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
It's also different in terms of one's thinking. I know I subscribe to several magazines that have digital editions, and I get my emails when the new edition comes out. And if I happen to not be busy, I'll go read the magazine. But if I am busy and I have to come back to it later, well, that email has scrolled off of my visible page on the inbox, and probably about 3/4 of the time I forget about it, and I never go read that issue because I've forgotten about the email that said that it was ready. When you have a physical magazine that comes in the mail and is sitting on your table, if you don't have the time to look at it when the mailman has delivered it, it's still sitting there waiting for you and reminding you that it's there whenever you do have time. And that's a significant difference. I like to think that our readers don't forget to read our digital edition. The feedback we've gotten is that they don't forget, that they do read it and they do enjoy it because they're paying for it. All these magazines that I forget to read are free subscriptions. So I don't have any investment in it. If you've paid for the subscription, you do have an investment in it, and you do go back and read it.
That's a good point. If you have nothing invested financially, physically, emotionally, then there's really not much to gain from it. But if you do financially or emotionally or physically invest yourself, then you are looking for a payback that you won't get if you haven't done all that investment on those different levels.
That's right. There's a matter of perceived value. If you have paid for something, you perceive that it has a value to you. If you haven't, then it has no value. We used to see this at Hamfests. Long before I was with CQ, we used to give away the current issue at our booth at Hamfests. They used to find copies of the magazine in trash cans, on the ground, all over the place. People had no investment in them. They started charging $1 for them. You never saw one in a trash can. There's an investment. You've put out some money for it. You see value in it, you take it home with you.
There are other situations where you begin charging for a magazine or an audio service. Even though it might be good, nobody wants to pay the money for it. So it's a two-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to that expectation that anything that is online should be free. Yet, when it is free, you don't perceive significant value to it. Going back to our own experience with World Radio Online, when we went to a subscription model on it, the initial subscription price was $10 for 12 issues. This is not a major investment for most of the people in our hobby. In fact, it's significantly less than any other magazine out there. We went from 25,000, 30,000 people at least looking at the magazine once when it was free to about 1,500 who were willing to pay $10 for it. I can't see that it was a reflection on the quality of the content, because I think I'm a pretty good judge of content of magazines, having been a magazine editor for 20 years now. It's a darn good magazine with darn good articles, but the vast majority of people out there didn't find it of enough value to them to be willing to pay 80 cents a month for it.
That's a sad commentary. So what do we have in store in the long term if people aren't even willing to pay 80 cents? You can't even buy a taco for 80 cents. If they're not willing to pay any money at all, what does that say for the future?
Well, for the future of the publishing industry in general, I think print is going to be here for a long time. I worry a lot about the newspaper business. They're the ones who started this concept of free content. I don't think that they expected that as many people as have would take advantage of the free content online versus having the print newspaper in their hand. I don't know where they're going to continue to get the money to pay their editors and their reporters and their printers and their distributors. I know that my own local newspaper here, I've had to cut back personally because it was costing me $90 every 3 months. That's just not in my budget.
That's a dollar a day.
Yeah, but you got to pay it in a lump.
Oops. Well, there is that.
And there was no benefit to being a subscriber over buying it on the newsstands, because that's what they were charging on the newsstands, too. So they offer a partial week subscription with online access as well. And that's what we've decided works for us right now. But back in the magazine world, digital only is not a sustainable model. again, this is not us. This is the whole industry. You've seen it in a bunch of different magazines, most notably Newsweek, which went from print and digital to digital only, and then went back to print because they couldn't make it as a digital-only magazine. Wired magazine went digital only, went back to print.
You may recall there was a book written about my family back in the late 80s called What Love Sees. It was out of print for many years until 2-3 years ago when it became available as an e-book and a print-on-demand book on Amazon. And it cost $9.95. And I got a note the other day that the publisher, Rosetta Press or whoever they are, were making it available for one day for 99 cents. I wonder how many people actually paid the 99 cents who weren't willing to pay the $9.95. as opposed to those who really weren't willing to pay anything for it.
It would be very interesting to find out how they did on it. My guess would be they probably didn't sell very many of them, because I think that the vast majority of people who are interested enough in the book to pay anything for it, to have it, would be willing to pay $9.99 for it. $10 is not a make-or-break price point for most books, even on digital books. My guess would be that that was not an obstacle to selling the book, and I would be very interested to see how they did with their 99-cent sale. My guess is it was probably not a barn burner, and it has nothing to do with the quality of the book or the value of the book, because the value of the book, obviously, they felt is $10, and they put it on sale for $1. It devalues it, but just for one day.
That struck me as well, that, oh, you're going to make 99 cents. What are you gaining by selling a digital book for 99 cents if it's not selling for $9.95? Because, well, the book has now been out 3 years, and probably those who want it got it, paid for it. And those who didn't probably aren't going to pay 99 cents any more than they would $9.95. So I suspect you're right on that.
This concludes a conversation between Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, and CQ editor Rich Moseson, W2VU, concerning the present state of print versus digital media, especially as it relates to CQ Magazine. We'd be interested in your thoughts about whether you prefer print or digital ham-related magazines, and why. Send your thoughts to hap@therainreport.com. That's Hap with one P at therainreport.com. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2015 Rain, all rights reserved. Now for those connected with this weekly ham radio podcast, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.